Jesus was the greatest teacher that ever walked the face of the earth. When he finished his Sermon on the Mount, the multitudes, it is recorded, it said that they were astonished at his teaching. In John chapter 7, even the Jewish officials who in general didn't like Jesus, they said, "Never man so spake." This week in our VBS, we're looking at the parables of Jesus, some of the greatest teaching lessons that he ever gave. And we invite you to those series of lessons, especially if you have children, they will benefit from those. And this morning, we want to consider why it was that Jesus taught in parables. Why did he choose this method of teaching? And I hope that we will be encouraged this morning. We appreciate your presence, and especially those who are visiting with us. We're thankful that you're here. You're our honored guest, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. We're not going to be looking at specific parables this morning, but rather the purpose behind Jesus' parables. In fact, we're going to see in just a minute that his disciples asked him on one occasion, "Why do you speak in parables?" And we're going to look at Jesus' answer. The parables comprise approximately one-third of Jesus' recorded teaching. That's interesting. Approximately one-third of his teaching was in parables. And so clearly, he had a specific purpose in mind for that. There are over 40 parables recorded in some way or another, partial, short statements of illustration and longer formal parables. And there was actually a psalm, Psalm 78 and verse 2, that prophesied that Jesus would use this form of teaching. But we're going to see this morning that parables are more than just illustrations. We know that from our previous study of parables, that they are stories that illustrate spiritual truths. But we're going to see this morning that they're more than just illustrations. We often illustrate things. And in our teaching, or even outside the church building, in talking with someone, we'll make a point and then we'll give an illustration of that. It's a good form of teaching. And parables were certainly that. But we're going to see that there's more than that. We're going to see that Jesus used parables to achieve a particular goal that he had in mind with regard to his audience. A parable literally means to throw beside. The P-A-R-A, para, we have parachute, we have parachurch organizations, paramedic, that type of thing, para. Means beside. And then the last part of the word parable, from the Latin ballo, we have just the word ball. What do you do with a ball? You throw a ball. So para ballo, literally to throw beside, to cast alongside, to place beside. And so when Jesus was trying to teach a particular spiritual principle, he wanted to throw beside that an illustration to help teach the principle. So we have a spiritual principle. For example, in the case of the Good Samaritan. We're going to look at that Monday night, for example. So I'm trying to teach the lesson of compassion. And so I'm going to throw beside that a story that illustrates compassion. So parable means to throw or cast beside. In order to illustrate. So a story then, a parable then, becomes an illustration. But as we're going to see this morning, and as I just mentioned, there is more to it. Jesus has a spiritual truth in mind, and he wants to offer these illustrations or comparisons or analogies. It becomes a teaching aid. And we know them as parables. Some have said before, and I think it's accurate, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. We've made that point before. So here is an earthly story, and by story I mean true, I don't mean fake or fiction. Something that actually happened. Jesus used illustrations of a sower or other things that actually happened, and they are earthly, but they're trying to teach a heavenly principle. A lot of times Jesus would begin parables by saying the kingdom of heaven, spiritual principles. The kingdom of heaven is like. And so Jesus' main point was to help his disciples become kingdom citizens. And he wants us to have that same approach today. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13 then. And let's answer the question, why Jesus spake in parables? He was actually asked that. Why do you speak in parables? Let's see what his answer is, and let's see what we can learn from that this morning. Matthew chapter 13 is the beginning of Jesus' formal use of parables. It has been suggested that earlier in his ministry, for example, if you turn back to Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus talked about the bridegroom, or when he talked about new wine and old wineskins, that he may have been using shorter parabolic type illustrations. But Matthew 13 is probably the first formal setting where publicly and formally to the multitudes especially, he's using this form of teaching. And it's interesting that in this very chapter where he begins to formally use this method, that he's going to explain why he's doing that. Let's start with Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1, and let's build the context here. The first thing that we're going to learn this morning is, in verses 1 through 3, that Jesus is speaking to a mixed multitude. There are different people in the crowd, and it's going to begin to tell us why he's using parables. Just like there's a mixture of us this morning, anytime you have any kind of gathering, there's going to be a mixture of attitudes, dispositions, knowledge levels, desires. And there is a multitude here. And Jesus is reaching a vast group of people, and he's going to use a teaching method in order to do some separation. Chapter 13, verse 1. On that day when Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and there were gathered unto him great multitudes, so that he entered into a boat and sat, and all the multitude stood on the beach. And he spake to them many things in parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. The first thing I want us to notice this morning is that Jesus is teaching mixed multitudes. And not everybody in the multitude really wants to follow Jesus. We would hope that that would be the case, but that's not the case. There will always be those, there would be Jews who didn't want to follow Jesus. They were there for other reasons. Curiosity. Well, there's a crowd over there across town. Let's go over there and see what's going on. I hear a man speaking. He's out in the water in a boat. And I see him down there. Let's go down there and kind of see what's going on. So you're going to have a whole variety of motives and attitudes and dispositions in that group of people. Okay? Not everybody is there to become a follower of Jesus. So that's the first thing we want to notice. That parables have something to do with causing the multitude, there's going to be a separation going on. The second thing that we notice here in Matthew chapter 13 is that Jesus opens up with the parable of the sower. And Lord willing, we will be looking at that Wednesday night in our VBS. Now, this is not just any parable. This is a parable that deals specifically with how different people receive the Word of God. So notice how it's appropriate to the context. You have a multitude, and they're all out there, and there's going to be different attitudes toward the Word of God. And then he teaches a parable about different attitudes toward the Word of God. So it's no accident that he opens up with the parable of the sower. And we're very familiar with that. Verse 3, behold, the sower went forth to sow.
And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them, and others fell upon the rocky places where they had not much earth, and straightway they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them, and others fell upon the good ground, and yielded fruit, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now we're going to go over the details of the parable of the sower, Lord willing, Wednesday night. But I just simply want to make the point here that this is a parable that deals with how different hearts receive the Word of God. Not everybody receives it the same way. Some want to hear it and obey it, others do not. And then notice in verse 9, the third thing this morning is that Jesus warns about one's ears. Not physical ears, not the cartilage on the outside of your head, but the attitude of hearing and understanding and obeying the Word of God. All of these things are important in answering the question, why do you speak in parables? So then look at verse 10. As we work down through the text, the disciples ask why. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Jesus doesn't say, because parables are good illustrations, and I like to use illustrations. He doesn't say that. We're not going to read that. So we know that parables are not just illustrations. That's not even necessarily the primary purpose for them. They do that. They do illustrate. But Jesus could have just said, well, I like to use illustrations. But that's not what we're going to read in verse 11 and following. There's something else going on. And so let's see what that is. Verse 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Jesus didn't say, I speak to them in parables because I like to use illustrations. He said, I speak to them in parables because some want to hear and some don't. Now that's different. Jesus is going to indicate here two reasons why he speaks in parables. He's going to say, there are the haves and the have-nots. In this mixed multitude, verse 9, some are going to use their ears to hear and obey, some are not. And parables are going to help separate those two categories of people. When I speak in a parable, those who really want the truth, and they really want to be one of my followers, they're going to follow up with more questions. They're going to want to dig deeper. But the surface curiosity seekers, the people that showed up just to come down, they heard me, they saw me down there in a boat, and they walked down. They didn't have anything better to do. I don't start work until 2 hours, and I just wanted to stop by and hear a guy talking from a boat. They won't want to do anything more with it. They showed up, and they heard me talking about a sower, a guy sowing seed. And they went, well, what is that? And then they kind of walk on. And then maybe on another occasion, somebody heard me talking about a man that had gotten robbed on his way down to Jericho. I'm not interested in that. So here we're beginning to see why Jesus taught in parables. It separates those who are truth seekers from those who are curiosity seekers. From those who want to have some depth spiritually, from those who are just surface and shallow. So let's begin to look at some of these statements that are being made. Unto them it is given, unto you, you disciples, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That doesn't mean that Jesus didn't want some people to have the truth. He wants all, God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus died to save all mankind. So that verse doesn't mean He came to give some people truth and purposely keep it from other people. That's not what that verse is saying. That verse is saying that when I speak, I'm going to speak in a way that some people want the truth and some people that don't want to work for it, that don't want to listen and apply and ask more questions, they're not going to get the truth. The believing disciples, and I don't believe here Jesus has in mind, verse 11, unto you, he's not just simply talking to the 12. It starts with them, but anybody that would be a disciple, they're going to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And then these unbelieving multitudes, just those who were there, some were there to catch Jesus in a problem. Some were curiosity seekers. Some didn't have anything better to do, and so they stopped by. Those folks will not become disciples. So this morning, I want us to think about who are we? And that'll be our close in just a minute. Who are we? Are we the truth seeker every week, or are we the curiosity seeker? Look at verse 12. God has a law, what I'm going to call a law of addition and subtraction. For whosoever has, to him shall be given. And look at verse 12. For whosoever. This applies to more than just the 12 apostles. Anybody. Anybody that has truth and wants more truth, they're going to get it. But people who don't have truth and they don't have any interest in learning and listening and obeying, even what little they have is going to be taken away from them. And that's true in all areas of our life. If you learn a language in high school, maybe you had to take Spanish or French or German, but you don't use it later when you get out of high school, you just lose it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. And that's the idea here, that if you have something, God is going to give you more. But you have to desire that and want that. And in the case of Jesus' teaching, you have to ask questions. We'll see this in a minute. You have to come back and say, Lord, give me more. I want to stick with this man. I'm going to follow him into the next town and learn some more. I'm going to apply it in my life. If that's the type of person we are, that's the have person. But if we're the have not, if we're the person who's just simply showing up because we don't have anything better to do, then Jesus says, look at verse 12, whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. You'll slowly lose any truth that you did have. So Jesus is teaching in parables not just simply to illustrate, but to separate. So, there are going to be some in the multitudes who do not want to hear and understand. They don't want more. So let's look at verse 13 and break it down. Therefore speak I to them in parables. That's why. You ask me a question, verse 10, and I'm telling you that's why. I'm doing this because there are some people here who want truth. There's some people here who do not. Let's break down verse 13. Because seeing. The word seeing here is not physically looking with the eye. Seeing here is they have an opportunity to hear me and know truth. Seeing, they see not. He's not talking about blind people. He's talking about people who have opportunities to hear and believe and obey, but they don't respond. They see not. They choose not to do anything with this. And every week, we have that. Every week, regardless of who's teaching or preaching or teaching the class, we have an opportunity to see more truth, to learn more truth. And we can choose to respond or not. And then look at verse 13 when he says, and hearing, they hear not. He's not talking about deaf people physically. He's talking about people who can hear the truth. They hear sounds. It's going into their ears. But they hear not. They don't respond. They don't want to do anything with this message. And so parables are going to help separate that. It's going to help separate the ones who want truth from those who don't. In addition to illustration, which is a main part of parables to illustrate, in addition to that, this is why I'm using this method. And we know that just when we study the parables, we'll read the story and then we'll start asking questions. Well, what did that part mean? And what did that part mean? And what did that part mean? That's the whole point. It's laid out in a way where some will do the work to work through all of that. Okay, well, what is the illustration? And what is the parallel? And what is the analogy? And what am I supposed to be learning from the kingdom of heaven? And then you got the ones who are like, well, that's just a story. That doesn't mean anything. That's just a story. It's separating, you see. And of course, we here this morning, we all want to be the truth seekers. Course. Let's keep reading. As we go down through the text, look at verses 14 and 15. What is happening here is that when Jesus is teaching the multitudes, this is actually fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. And I like the New American Standard here because it says in verse 14, "And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah." The New American Standard reads, "And unto them is being fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah." At this very moment that this is going on, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled in what is taking place right here. In this multitude right now are those who want to hear and obey and those who don't. And you can't tell it by just looking out in the multitude. Jesus can. God knows that. We would just see a multitude. We'd just think everybody's out there, you know, wanting to hear and obey, but that's not the case. So, what is the prophecy? Look at verse 14. "By hearing, you shall hear," physically hearing, words going into our mind, "and shall in no wise understand. And seeing, you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive." This is the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 6, where after Isaiah sees that beautiful throne scene in heaven and holy, holy, holy is God. God asks, "Is there someone who will go teach my people?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." And then God says, in effect, "That's great that you're going to go, but when you get out there to Israel," that's Israel of Isaiah's day, "there are going to be people who don't want your message." And that will be fulfilled all the way down through to the time of Jesus and even up until today. Some people don't want to hear and obey. "For this people's heart is waxed," or grown, gross. The older versions, King James, American Standard, says gross. We have that word today. Ooh, that was gross. We use it today to mean ugly or something like that, gross. This is the old English word that means thick, thick and hard. It's grown hard, a heart that has been hardened. "And their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and I should heal them." There are people right now being fulfilled. This prophecy is being fulfilled right now as I'm talking on the shores here. I'm out in this boat, verse 2, and I'm teaching. This is what's going on. Not everybody wants the Word of God. Look at this idea of contrast in verse 12. "For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But, there are those who don't want the word of God." You have the unbelieving multitudes, and you have the believing disciples. Come now with me to verse 16. But, here's another contrast. But, in verses 14 and 15, it is being fulfilled right now, the prophecy of Isaiah. There are some people out here in the multitudes that don't want the word of God. But, verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see." You disciples, you are here for truth. You're not here just for curiosity. And so, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see the things which you see, that is the teaching of Jesus, that has come fulfilled now, and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear and heard them not. So, there's a contrast. And look at verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. Any disciple who wants more is going to be given more. And in verses 18 and following, in what we call the explanation of the parable of the sower, it was given to people who want more. Not everybody in the crowd wanted more. We know that from other stories in the life of Jesus. When Jesus got done with the rich young ruler, what happened? He walked away, sorry, he just walked away. Not everybody wants truth. And so parables were used to distinguish and separate those who really do want the Word of God. And so we won't take time to read verses 18 through 23. We know the parable very well. But the point I want to make in verse 18 is, I'm about to give you, disciples who want more, I'm about to give you the explanation. The parables then separate the multitudes. The truth seekers from the curiosity seekers. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, to borrow from the Sermon on the Mount, from those who don't love truth. Paul talks about that in 2 Thessalonians 2. And on this occasion of teaching in parables, Jesus tells us why he uses that method. Look at chapter 13 and verse 36. Here's another example of this. Jesus teaches the parable of the wheat and the tares and the mustard seed and the leaven. Look at verse 34. This is all the same occasion. All these things spake Jesus in parables unto the multitudes, and without a parable spake he nothing unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through the prophet, saying, and then this quotation from the book of Psalms, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. Then he left the multitudes and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Underscore that in your Bible. That's the whole point. I want to know more. Many people didn't want to know more. They don't care. They heard a story about a guy, you know, sowing some seed, and the enemy came and sowed some tares. And then after they heard Jesus, they walked off and went on to work or went home. They didn't think about anything. But the ones who want to be kingdom citizens, I want to know more so that I can make those changes in my life. Separation is going on here. Let's look at another example of this in the same chapter. Come with me to verses 51 and 52. When Jesus gets done, look at this. Have you understood all these things? They say, yea, or yes. And he said unto them, therefore. Look at this. You say you understand it, and I believe that they did. You understand it, therefore you're like something. What is that? You are like a scribe who has been made a disciple to the kingdom of heaven. Notice it's not a disciple of Jesus. It's a disciple to the kingdom of heaven. We follow heaven's teaching. Is likened unto a man that is a householder who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. Look at it. You understand what I'm talking about. You're like a man who has some old things, look at it, and some new things. You're adding to your knowledge. You're adding to your truth base.
because you're understanding these parables and the things that I'm saying, you're like someone who's building on the old, and that would be all of the teaching of the Old Testament and other principles that were taught, and now you're adding new principles to that, what I'm teaching you about the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because you understand these things. You're a truth seeker. You want to learn more. You want to know more. And so that's what the parables, in effect, do. And those who don't want it, they just simply walk away. So, this morning, I want us to consider how important it is, any week that we come together to hear the Word of God, whether it's a parable or not, that same message, in this case it's parables, will either awaken us to learn more and want to grow and do better, or it'll just do nothing. And it's a separation process. Why are we here? Why are we here each week? The parables were meant to cultivate inward spiritual renewal, not some outward physical revolt. Many of the Jews wanted someone to come in. That's why in John chapter 6 they tried to make Jesus their king. They wanted somebody to come in and help them to have an outward physical war with the Romans. Get Rome out of Palestine. We don't need them. We need somebody who will help us get rid of this Roman oppression. And Jesus didn't come for that. He came for inward spiritual renewal. That's why the kingdom of heaven is likened unto such and such. And there were a lot of people that weren't interested in inward spiritual renewal. So they walked away when they heard the parables. The Good Samaritan, that's about compassion. I don't want to learn about compassion. I want to learn about revolt. Tuesday night, the rich fool, being more concerned about covetousness and outward physical things than our soul. I don't want to learn about that stuff. I want revolt. And the soils, and I don't want to learn about forgiveness Thursday night. I don't want to learn about repentance and coming back to the Lord, the prodigal son Friday. I don't want to learn about these spiritual principles. I want some guy to help us beat off the Romans. And so the parables separated those two different attitudes. Jesus wanted them to be kingdom citizens and kingdom of heaven citizens, not just citizens of the Roman Empire. And so the parables help to make that distinction. So what did the parables do? Well, first of all, it was, as I said earlier, about one-third of Jesus' teaching is parables. First of all, Jesus hoped to reveal truth to them. To those who had a proper attitude, to those who were sincere and earnest truth seekers, and they wanted to learn more, we would call them the haves. These parables revealed new truths to them. New ways of being a kingdom citizen. But at the same time, these parables would conceal truth. It would conceal truth from those who didn't want to understand and obey. Those who were hardened or willfully ignorant or indifferent. Those who showed up just to be there out of curiosity. They really didn't want to make any changes. Truth would be concealed from them. Those who didn't love the truth. Or maybe believed that they already had it and couldn't learn any more. To them, it was just a silly story. And they were unimpressed, and they walked away unchanged. Did you hear that guy down there in that boat earlier today? He was talking about some guy throwing out some seed. What was that all about? You can just kind of hear it. Unimpressed and unchanged. But then you have people, Lord, tell us more. Let's see. Number three, parables preserved truth. These stories are so striking and so illustrative that we remember them days and weeks and months later. I remember when Jesus talked about the sower And I can vividly see that man that got robbed and beaten, and the priest and the Levite, they're walking by on the other side, and they hear, man, I remember that. It's vivid illustrations that you can think about later. And so it ended up preserving truth. And then last of all, and this is interesting, parables would get people to admit the truth even before they knew that they were admitting it. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Later in Jesus' ministry, toward the end really, when he comes into Jerusalem, he's teaching in the temple. I want to look at Mark's account, Mark chapter 12. He teaches this parable of the man who had a vineyard, and he sent various ones into the vineyard, and the servants beat them and all of that type of thing. And then he sends his son, and they kill him. Mark chapter 12, verse 1, and he began to speak unto them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it. Come on down to verse 12. When Jesus gets done, Mark 12, verse 12. Jewish authorities, and they sought to lay hold on him, and they feared the multitude, for they perceived that he spake the parable against them. And they left him and went away. They got the point. But look at the statement, they left him and went away. That's the point that we're talking about this morning. Some people don't want it. They don't want the truth. But they realized, they admitted, hey, he's talking about me. We have rejected the Old Testament prophets. We have rejected John the Baptist. And now we're going to kill the Son. Do you remember when Nathan was preaching to David about his sin with Bathsheba? Do you remember that in 2 Samuel chapter 11? And Nathan brings up a parable of the little ewe lamb. Remember that? Remember that? David says, this is terrible. This man shouldn't have done that. What's David doing? He's admitting the truth. And then, oh, Nathan applies it to him. Parables get people on board. Yeah, that's right. Sower, sowing seed, it falls. It gets them on board with truth. They're going down to it. Yeah, that's right. And then Jesus hits it with the punchline. And it's kind of hard to reject it after you've been listening to the parable and you're going, yes, yes, yes. It's kind of hard to reject the punchline, isn't it? What did David do? Text says that he was humble and said, I have sinned. But others are hardened and they walk away. It's a way of getting you to admit truth before you realize you're doing it. And that's a good thing. And then we have to decide if we're going to be humble or hardened. And so as we close this morning then, what can we learn? Do our ears really hear, or is our heart hardened? Every week that we come, we have an opportunity to be the haves or the have-nots. The haves who want more. I'm listening, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm changing, or I'm here taking up space, just something to be doing, and then later I'm just going to walk off. Let us always be the ones who have the open ears and the open hearts. Let us always be the ones who are saying, Lord, give me more. What does this mean? How can I apply this in my life? An open-minded, truth-seeking attitude must always be cultivated in our lives today. It's easy to just go through the ritual and the routine. Let us be the haves. Where we, like in our songbooks, give me the Bible. Give me more. I'm listening. I'm taking notes. I'm learning. I'm following along in my Bible. I appreciate the material. Let's be that. And not the other one, the have-nots. I don't get anything out of the lesson. I didn't get anything out of Bob's lesson today. Did you hear that? I didn't get anything out of it. Separation is going on. And let's be on that right side. Appreciate your time and attention this morning. Lord willing, we're going to be looking at the parables of Jesus. We get to hear them again. We get to hear them afresh. And it's great. And I appreciate all the ones who are participating this week in the teaching program and the
support program behind the scenes doing what needs to be done. And I appreciate all of that. And I hope that we will learn some great lessons this week. And we've learned this morning why Jesus even did that in the first place, why he taught in parables. And let's be those truth seekers each and every day. Maybe your truth seeking begins today by coming and obeying Christ, putting him on in baptism, or as a child of God, if you need to come back in some way and let that be known, we would love to encourage you to do that. Let's go out each and every day. And as we hear the Word of God, have that attitude of, I want more. Give me more, Lord, so that I can follow you and be pleasing to you each and every day. If we can help you in some way, why would you come as we stand and as we sit?